With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Yeah, baby, here we go. 6:02 on a gorgeous Tuesday night live from Los Angeles, Hollywood, California, W Hotel in Hollywood. Pac-12 Football Media Day brought to you by our friends at Beery and Toyota. Headlines are courtesy, of course, of our friends over at VenueKings.com.
He's a genuine butthole.
Looking for tickets for the home opener for the Seahawks Week 2 against the Titans. VenueKings.com. As you cover, be sure and use code SOFIA at checkout for a little bit of a discount. Well, if you're looking forward to going to T-Mobile Park tonight to see Kendall Graveman appear in relief for the Mariners, I got bad news for you. He's no longer a member of the M's. He got the save yesterday, and then he was shipped out. Mariners sending relievers Kendall Graveman and Rafael Montero to the Astros for infielder Abraham Toro and reliever Joe Smith. Mariners back at it tonight, game 2 of 3 against Houston. A good one, Chris Flexen versus Lance McCullers at 7:10 tonight.
Seahawks reported to camp today. They will begin practice tomorrow. Those that reported include Jamal Adams and Aaron Rodgers reporting to Packer camp today, and a rework deal expected to be done soon.
Jamal Adams in camp.
Yay!
Huh? I love it. Kraken are making a deal, sending defenseman Curtis McDermott, who they got in the expansion draft last week, to Colorado for a fourth-round draft pick in the 2023 NHL draft.
Simone Biles pulling out of the Olympic team competition, citing mental health struggles following a fall on the vault. The U.S. went on to finish second in team competition. No word on if she will participate in the individual events.
And college football news, no surprise. What has been rumored for days became reality today. Oklahoma and Texas formally notifying the SEC of their intention to leave the Big 12 to join the SEC as early as 2025.
You don't say.
All right, let's keep it right here. David Shaw, the head coach at Stanford, going to join us in a matter of minutes on the radio. I want to get David's take on Richard Sherman. Has he talked to him since the incident a couple of weeks ago that was obviously all over the news? We'll get Dave's take on that coming up in a matter of minutes right here on 950 KJR. His thoughts on NIL, his thoughts on conference expansion, realignment, the whole spiel. The dean, the OG of Pac-12 coaches, no doubt, David Shaw, with us in a few minutes. But, you know, this Mariner deal, we had Chuck Powell on with us earlier. He blasted off on Jerry DePoto, said he was callous and out of touch to make the deal with Kendall Graveman. And then even Jerry DePoto came out and said, look, don't even try and break the deal down that we made today, because the deal that we made today makes no sense whatsoever unless we back it up with another move, which they're planning on doing.
If you're trying to compete, no question about it. And I think, but even if, let's say everything else falls through, the facts are still the facts. You got a player that a lot of people do like. We've seen tweets that say they like him. He's got 3 more years of club control, and you gave up a guy that's not going to be on your roster in 3 months.
Right, but Jerry DePoto is also admitting to you he would not have made that deal.
Agreed.
Because it's a ridiculous trade to make
for
the
this
surface.
Year.
He would not have made the deal now. I mean, he told you he would not make that deal unless he could make another move to complement it. So let's just see what happens down the road. Let's give it a few days and see what happens. We're just waiting until Friday. That's it. All right, joining us right now on the radio show, the dean of all Pac-12 coaches, baby, from Stanford, sitting with us here, Coach David Shaw. Good to see you, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, it's good to hook up again. Tell us about what the last year and a half has been like at Stanford. I mean, there's all these talks about cutting sports. No, they're bringing them back. You guys have to go on the road. You're vagabonds for a month for the last 4 or 5 weeks of the 2020 season. Recap the last year and a half for Stanford football.
The two best ways I can describe it is Dorothy when she woke up in Oz, and Alice in Wonderland when she went through the looking glass. Like, it kind of looks like your world, but it's not been the world that you've been living in. You know, we at Stanford, of course, we've always been so proud of our breadth of athletics, right? 36 varsity sports, you know, the Director's Cup every year and all that, and then get into a position where, you know, financially, we're trying to make a better model for ourselves by cutting 11 sports, which was so hard to do, and COVID hits, and We're starting training camp a month or month and a half after everybody else. We get kicked out of our county in training camp, so we have to go practice at a high school. Then we get to come back to our county. Then we start playing season. Then we get kicked out of our county again. So it's all been insanity. But the 36 sports coming back next year. The 11 sports were reinstituted. Getting back to live in-person meetings and participation in games has been great. So I feel like we're trending back towards being normal.
Yep.
But I believe throughout the last year and a half, we found a lot of different ways to do things, a lot of new ways to do things. We learned a lot about ourselves, learned a lot about our program, learned a lot about our kids, which is great. And hopefully all of that that happened to us over the last year that we've already responded to will just make us that much better going forward.
And you and the Seahawks had something in common last year. Neither team had a positive COVID test. And Pete Carroll took great pride in that. He mentioned that many times. How do you feel about the size of that accomplishment?
I think it's amazing. And them being different, but, you know, to get a whole bunch of full adults with a lot of freedom to be able to be safe, which is amazing for the Seahawks. For us to have student athletes on campus in the community and still not have a positive, I think is just as impressive. It means our guys did a lot of the right things.
Yeah,
they took care of each other, took care of themselves. They took it seriously. I let the team come up with a team covenant every year. Like they come up with what the team's going to be about. I don't come up with it. And a lot of their mentality last year had to be doing things together, being accountable to each other, and that's what they were all year. And as a coach, that makes you so proud that guys can subjugate their own personal agenda for the team agenda. Says a lot about these guys.
Well, David Shaw is with us, and I saw a little nugget in Phil Steele's magazine that you guys are the only team, I believe, in Power 5 to play all Power 5 teams on your schedule this year. You got a smile on your face. You got to be pretty proud of that. But where is this conference going? I mean, you're kind of like the E.F. Hutton. Remember the old E.F. Hutton commercials back in the day? People want to know David Shaw's opinion on everything and anything in this conference. What is the future of the Pac-12? Texas, Oklahoma going to the SEC. Rumors about the Pac-10 maybe splitting up a little bit. Where do you think this thing's heading?
I'm curious myself. I really am. You ask all of our coaches about the strength of this conference, and it's really in its depth. Our conference doesn't get the respect it deserves nationally, partially because we beat each other up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been used against us in the other places, whereas really it's a strength. At least 7, if not 8 teams in our conference have a chance to win the conference. You see the coaching. You see the athletic ability on the team. You see the way that they've recruited. This is a deep – this is still the deepest conference in America. But because other places maybe play fewer conference games and play a weaker out-of-conference schedule, they try to put themselves above us, whereas at the same time, we have hellacious schedules. Ours is, of course, ridiculous. But you look at all of our schedules. That playing 9 conference game and a tough out-of-conference scheduling, it really makes our conference extremely competitive. And it's also borne its way out. I mean, we had 5 guys drafted and 5 more guys signed, and we put 10 guys in the NFL this past year. That says a lot about what we do and how we do it here. So I think our new commissioner is on a mission right now to get some of that national respect back. I love his energy. I had no idea who he was when he got the job. I was really curious to hear him speak, and I think to a man, every single one of our head coaches and our athletic directors. We do have female athletic directors, but all of us, when we sat there and listened to him, we were impressed by his knowledge of our conference, impressed by his motivation and his energy that he's putting towards rebuilding that conference of champions moniker and making people outside of our conference see us that way.
What are those tangible steps that you think he's going to take?
Well, I mean, at the top of the list, of course, is the new TV contract, which is what we've been lagging behind for damn near a decade in financially. I think many of us have talked about our TV times. You know, playing late at night sometimes gets higher ratings, but nobody else is playing at night. A lot of people are sleeping on the East Coast. So being able to play marquee games at marquee times, I think is big. Catering towards our best interests and not towards the TV's best interest. That's the nicest way I can say that, because our last TV contract initially was high dollar value, but we had very minimal control. And most of the other conferences now, they have some measure of control about when their games are played, how their games are played, the where their games are played. That going forward, that we want to do more promotion of our marquee games, our marquee matchups at marquee times, which also helps us win national awards for our student athletes, putting them in those positions. So I think the commissioner is on a great track right now, and I think he kind of juiced us all up yesterday about his progress.
Well, I love that. I love hearing that. David Shaw, head coach of Stanford, is with us. But I also hope that you guys have your voices heard, because you're the ones that are out there in the field, on the front lines, talking to people, dealing with recruits, talking to moms, talking to dads, talking to 16, 17-year-old kids. So to not include your voices would be nonsensical as this conference goes forward. Do you feel like that's happening, that George Kleofkoff, Merton Hanks are factoring in the requests, the wishes, the history that you guys can bring to the table that can help this conference move forward? Are your voices being heard?
Well, that was one of the key components of yesterday's meeting.
Good.
Which was, we had just the commissioner and the head coaches in a room for another 20 minutes. It's just the beginning.
Nice.
And him saying, throw it at me. You know, give it to me. Like, I've just laid out a bunch of different things. Hit me now back with some, let's play some tennis on some of this. As my old boss, Brian Billick, said, let's scrimmage on some of this a little bit. And we're able to talk about things from our perspective. Start times, the travel in our conference is different than the travel in other conferences. The difficulty of playing a late night game followed by a short week, right? Different things like that we are putting our student athletes in difficult positions. So him being accessible to us, and not just having his own agenda, but really incorporating our ideas. He's got a process by which now he wants to go forward with a lot of these key items, being able to talk to, and it's going to be tough getting us all in a room during the football season. But in different groups at different times, saying, hey, this has come up. Give me your feedback on this.
Right.
Give me your feedback on that. Here's my perspective. Give me your perspective. I think the collaboration has a chance to be really exciting.
And that's different, right? You did not have that under the previous regime. Is that fair to say?
I would say Larry was always accessible.
Right. But that meeting that you talked about with George, that's a unique new thing. Is that fair to say?
Yes. We haven't had one like that, and I'm excited about where we're starting. Because, once again, first-time commissioner, kind of coming from the outside in, he wants to make sure he incorporates, as you said, our history in this deal. And we have as much invested in this as anybody.
We've got 11 of 12 coaches here. There's one noticeably absent. He's decided not to get the vaccine, so therefore he can't get here today. Can you coach like that? Can you coach with all the protocols? Can you 100% coach as effectively unvaccinated as you can vaccinated?
Now I'll say this, and God bless Rolo. I love Rolo. We just coached a season a year ago when no one was vaccinated, and we were able to put protocols in place. I know he's got to deal with his own administration and their own desire to go forward. But if he doesn't get it, then you can be effective, right? There's still social distancing. There's masking. There's different ways that you can go about travel, et cetera, for unvaccinated people. So although he will be unvaccinated as the only head coach that I know of, every single there's a couple that say that they're not, but most places I've talked to, there's going to be up to 25%, sometimes 15% of their student athletes that are not going to be vaccinated. So we're all going to have protocols for unvaccinated people. We're all preparing for that, knowing that that's going to be part of our lives going forward, and making sure that everybody is as safe as possible. So my short answer is yes, it can be done. But it does take a lot of things to make it happen.
David Shaw, head coach Stanford, before you go, we always like to get your thoughts on what's happening up in Seattle. I mean, you know, getting to know Richard and Doug over the years, always spoke very highly of you. And Richard was in the news, unfortunately, a while back. Have you spoken to him? And if so, how's he doing?
We have texted. We've touched base. Richard, you know, I won't share what we've said privately. He did say one thing. It's a great pivot point. Richard is always moving, right? Sometimes extremely fast, on and off the field. And this is no different. It's not an opportunity to stay still. It's an opportunity to grow and change. And for him to say this is a pivot point for him, which is great, which is now he's an older athlete who's on the verge of being a former athlete, I know he wants to play at least one more year. Life now has kind of hit him like a Matt truck. And he made some bad decisions in a short period of time. And he's going to grow from it. He's got an unbelievable wife and family structure. Once again, known his family for a long time. You're not going to find a better heart in anybody on the planet than Richard Sherman. So he's going to be better from this. He's going to grow from this. He's always thinking about his kids, and this is going to be an opportunity for him to say, here's Daddy making a mistake. Here's Daddy doing the wrong thing. But also, here's Daddy coming back and making it right. And that's what this next chapter is going to be about for Richard. And difficult it was for all that happened, as he's done his entire life, Richard is going to turn this an opportunity for him to be better and be a better example for his children.
Does the return to the Seahawks make sense for one more year for him?
It's one of those possibilities, you know. And I'm always, of course, rooting for Richard. And I love Pete Carroll, and I think that would be awesome. I also love John Gruden, and the chance to maybe go with the Raiders would be awesome too. So I just want this next opportunity for Richard to be the right place for him. That environment up there, Pete's environment, is so conducive towards guys being at their absolute best, and Richard helped set that culture there. So if that does happen, I couldn't be happier.
We'll see you October 30th, day before Halloween. All right, good stuff, Coach. Always fun to catch up, and we will talk soon down the road.
Thanks, Thank you, Coach.
You bet. David Shaw, the head coach of the Stanford Cardinal, with us on the radio show. I mean, good stuff there, obviously, on Richard Sherman.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, he's a guy that knows Richard Sherman as well as anybody. And, you know, you mentioned the Seahawks there as a possibility, Raiders there as a possibility. And, look, I mean, it obvious, you and I have mentioned this many times, it makes sense from a Seahawk perspective, and both of us think that maybe that makes even more sense now after what he went through.
Just reading the body language. Did you notice the body language? You mentioned the Seahawks. There was a twinkle in the eye. There was a little smile. It told me, and I'm just making assumptions here.
Yeah.
It told me that that was discussed in the text.
Right, right.
That almost like he knew that that's something that Richard is very interested in doing.
Well, then hearing David Shaw just say flat out, the meeting that we had with 11 of the 12 coaches, I mean, maybe Rolo was on Zoom, I got no idea, but that had never been done before like that with Larry Scott.
Which is bizarre.
I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, that sounds like an obvious kind of no-brainer. I mean, the commissioner of the Pac-12, the commissioner of the SEC, Big 10, Big 12, ACC, wants to just get into a room and talk to his football coaches.
Well, no, but here's
Does that not make total sense?
Yes, but
and
here's
the fact
why
that it finally happened now for the first time. The guy's been here for 11 years.
Here's why it didn't happen with Larry Scott. Let's play Larry Scott's brain. Larry Scott's like, well, why should I spend time meeting with all the football coaches when I don't have time to meet with the tennis coaches and the golf coaches and the swim coaches and the cross-country coaches? And that's where his focus has been the last 10, 15 years.
Let's get a break. A lot more to get to. We are down in L.A. for Pac-12 Football Media Day. Big thanks to Beery and Toyota. We're going to talk a lot about what's happening in the conference, of course. A lot more big names coming. Mariners win it last night, down 7-0, win 11-8 after a Dylan Moore grand slam in the eighth inning, baby. We're all over all of it, baby, right here on 950K.
Podcast, all in one app.
Now back to Pac-12 Media Day, live from Los Angeles, with special thanks to Burien Toyota on Seattle Sports Radio 950.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
JR.
All right, boys and girls. We are back live in L.A. for Pac-12 Football Media Day. Hanging out until 7 o'clock. Big thanks to our friends at Beery and Toyota. Remember that almost all of the pre-owned vehicles Beery and Toyota sells are backed by the limited lifetime warranty with 10 years of roadside assistance. Speaking of back, my back and my neck have not been the same since this guy put me in a chokehold 2 years ago. As a matter of fact, I looked up the statute of limitations on an injury like that, and you can be sure that Mario Cristobal is going to hear from a lawyer in the next maybe 6 to 9 months. I think there were some long-term damages done to the the system up there, man, or it could be that I'm just getting old. No, I don't know. But
no more damage could be done to your system up there. Anyway.
The only head coach to ever assault me here at Pac-12 Media Day is with us on the air, and you had to figure it was going to be the damn guy at Oregon that would do that. No. Mario Cristobal, coach of the Oregon Ducks. You know what I hate about this, by the way, doing this with you?
I hate the fact that I didn't apply more pressure on that headlock.
I actually like talking to you. And I like talking to Chip Kelly, and I like talking to Mark Helfrich, and I like talking to Mike Bellotti. I don't like that. I mean, can't one of you guys be a complete and total jerk so I can hate your guts in person?
I could work on that and come back next year just ready to do that, okay?
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's see if you can become a little saltier next year. Well, congratulations on the Pac-12 championship a year ago. My God. I know, though, I think you would have loved to have had a shot at Washington. Am I reading you right that the way things went, you'll take it, but you would have rather had a shot at UW and played all the games on your schedule?
Everybody wants to play that game. Yeah. You know, I think that's one of the best games in college football, both fan bases. I mean, everyone got deprived of an awesome football game. And as we all know, the strangest year you could ever imagine. And not only us, but look at the other teams that lost some really critical games. It stinks. It stinks, so. But it is what it is, and 21 is here, so let's roll.
Well, Thibodeau was wearing a ring. So do you wear the ring of that championship, or you just kind of put that in the back pocket?
No, these guys look good with shiny stuff and cool stuff. I don't, man. This is $32, you know, and the wedding band, and that's it. I'm pretty simple. I don't do much. I don't flash much, so we just got to go to work. And we got a lot of work to do. You know, we got a chance to be pretty decent, but we got a lot of work to do.
You guys are picked to win the Pac-12. Do you like that? Some coaches don't like that. Some coaches want to be picked to finish third or fourth and have a chip on their shoulder. Other coaches like that kind of expectation. Where do you sit on that?
I just never really paid attention to it one way or the other. I don't know what value it has or adds. I guess it's fun in conversations for people outside of the building, inside the building. You know, if you walked into our training sessions, you'd think you saw a team that hadn't won yet that's trying to claw and scratch for their first win, and it's got to stay that way. So it's really, for us, it's irrelevant. You know?
Well, you and Washington are kind of similar in some ways. You got elite players. You got some elite units. Both teams do. And then you've got a quarterback position that is kind of like, I don't know, might be really good, might not be really good. So tell us about your quarterback position.
Really like Anthony. He's going to go into the fall taking the first team reps, but that doesn't mean that the position is completely his. We expect him to do really well. He had a great spring. He's finally had an entire year with Coach Moorhead. Moorhead is he's a great quarterback tutor, and he's really dynamic in what he could do offensively. We feel like he gives us a chance to be a really effective offense.
Yep.
And we feel the supporting cast a lot better. The O-line played together for the first time last year. They need a lot of seasoning. You know how that works, communication. In empty stadiums, right? That was not the same as being in a packed stadium. But just all in all, the combination of him, the system, a more seasoned offensive line, and better playmakers, we feel we have a chance to be a pretty good offense. But we do need to let it play out. Those young guys are really good quarterbacks, and it merits that they get an opportunity to compete for that job. But Anthony will take the reps with the ones at least all the way to the first scrimmage.
Okay, Mario Cristobal, head coach of the Oregon Ducks, is with us on the radio show. I think if we're being real here, which there's no reason not to be, the perception of this conference the last few years has taken a hit. There's no question about that. What have you seen from George Kliavkoff in your conversations with him, your dealings with him, that makes you believe that things are about to be different for this conference?
Yeah, I think anyone that was that you've spoken to probably says they're really impressed, because presence, confidence, and a plan. It's not false confidence. He really is detailed and organized about the things that he's seen, and he understands the things that have to be addressed and how quickly they have to be addressed. So. And his business acumen is, if you study what he's done over the past ever, he gets it. He gets how things are tied into one another, whether it be a TV contract, whether it be a conference affiliation. He just gets it. And we expect him to be a difference maker in his role.
What did you think about the move of Texas and Oklahoma?
You know, I like to see what it ends up being like, or what it ends up finalizing itself to be. It doesn't affect us.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. You know, people got to make moves. I just think college football is continually changing. I think we know as a conference, if we take care of what we need to take care of, it really doesn't matter, no matter who moves where and what and why and how. So I know it's a big move for them. For us, it's like, next, you know?
Well, every action has a potential reaction, obviously. Yeah. And if the reaction is that there's a move made by the Big Ten or the Pac-12 to join forces and take on this super conference, I mean, do you envision one day, would you like to see one day the Pac-12 look at joining forces with Ohio State, Michigan, Nebraska, Penn State? Or do you honestly believe that this conference is just fine with the 12 members they have now?
I think this conference has great football teams, and I think if you look at the coaching staffs that are put together now and the way that recruiting is improving across the board, more kids on the West Coast are staying home, and West Coast teams, we're doing a better job overall on going across the country, even east of the Mississippi, and getting top-tier talent to come over this way. I think what you're going to see this year, you're going to see a lot of senior-laden teams in the Pac-12 that are really seasoned on the offense and defensive lines. You're going to see some really high-level quarterback play. You're going to see a really strong year from the Pac-12, and I think it's like football is cyclical. I think you're going to see the Pac-12 being more prominent again in terms of the future and alliances and all that other stuff. Brother, that's way above my pay grade. I don't get into all that stuff. I love the fact that we have some monster games lined up for the next several years as a conference. Those are great opportunities, and we got to keep searching those things out. It's great for football, right? We all want it. Everybody does, and we got to keep doing that. So I think we're in a good space. We got to go out and perform. That's the bottom line.
Softy and I debate about this all the time. When you have a big non-conference game, you root for Washington against Michigan?
Of course he does, because he's wrong.
Are you the only one that doesn't root for the Pac-12, Dave?
Probably. It's just not my DNA. Don't look at me like that. I can't do it. Can't do it. And then answer his question. Go ahead.
I have a hard time.
I don't think it's fair to ask anybody who they root for, no matter who they play. I just don't, you know. I want to see college football do well. I want to see our conference do well.
So is it good for you if Washington beats Michigan?
I think it's good for the conference to do well. I know how you trap people, so I'm trying to avoid the traps. I get it, you know, but I know deep down inside he does root for Oregon when we play.
That is a lie. That is not even close to being accurate.
And I'm going to make sure somebody posts that on your Twitter so everybody in Seattle knows.
Okay. I appreciate you giving me a chance to point out that is incorrect. Well, look, I mean, I honestly, Mario, I think that's one of the issues with this conference is that there's not enough of that hardcore passion. You came from the SEC at Alabama. You played at Miami. You know what those nutso, diehard, almost borderline lunatic college football fans are all about. I'm not saying you have to be a crazed maniac, but we're missing passion, I think, on the West Coast for college football. And I think the more of this, the conversations that guys like you and I have, I think the better off this sport's going to be, don't you?
I think so, but I think when you watch, for example, when our programs play each other, that's what it looks like,
sure.
Right?
Yes.
And, you know, I think we all would be – I think I'm safe to say that we live this stuff, right? This is our DNA. We live for this stuff. This is our existence, right? So, and I think that's permeating more and more and more. And the more that it does happen, yeah, it is a game changer because people feel that. You know, recruits feel that. You know, I know that when they come and they visit our place on game day, they feel that. When they visit your place on game day, they feel that. And it's important because when the student athlete and that whole program is the thing, right, it lets everyone know, okay, my son should probably look at going there because there's a true passion and they're going to invest everything they can to make him as good as he can be. So,
all right, get out of here. Good stuff. Thanks for doing this. We'll see you November 6th at Husky Stadium. Don't be ducking us like you did last year, man. All right? We'll see you in November.
I really want to put you in a headlock right now.
You should go do it, man.
That puts you to sleep for about a long time.
I love it. This is the way it should always be.
Guys, okay?
Thank you. Mario Cristobal, head coach of the Oregon Ducks, with us right here on 950 KJR, live from L.A. Big thanks to our friends at Beery and Toyota. Got a great selection of brand-new cars on the lot right now. To find out more, check out BeeryandToyota.com. We're back with more next on Softy and Dick, live from L.A., right here on 950 KJR.
Now back to Pac-12 Media Day, live from Los Angeles, with special thanks to Beery and Toyota on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
All right, boys, we are continuing from L.A., Hollywood, W Hollywood Hotel, Pac-12 Football Media Day. Big thanks to Beery and Toyota for getting us down there. Check out the entire inventory of certified pre-owned cars, most coming with that limited powertrain warranty, plus 10 years of roadside assistance at BeeryandToyota.com. Well, a lot of jobs in sports, right, are coveted by a lot of kids when they grow up. You want to be the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. You want to be the center fielder for the New York Yankees. You want to be maybe the point guard for the Knicks or the Lakers, or maybe playing you know, center for the Montreal Canadiens, whatever. But a guy who has one of those dream jobs, I think, to be the starting quarterback for USC is a pretty damn big deal. Keaton Slovis, first of all, is with us. How you doing, man? Good to see you.
Good, thanks for having me.
And then second of all, I mean, be honest with us, because we're in our late 40s, you know, no athletic ability whatsoever.
Our prime is way past us.
Yeah, we're over the hill. We're never going to experience what it's like to be you. So can we live vicariously through you for a second?
Sure.
What's it like to be the starting quarterback at USC walking around campus?
It's pretty cool, but it's also pretty weird if you think about it. I'll share a story, I guess. So I was the backup quarterback, obviously, my freshman year. And then all of a sudden, JT gets hurt. I become the guy. And then that whole week leading up to the game, no one really knows who I am, you know, but they kind of now know who I am. So all these people, I'm in their class already, they're kind of just looking at me like, you, this kid? And then after the Stanford game, they start like, obviously they kind of didn't expect anything to happen. And then after the Stanford game, they were like, oh, he's not bad. So then everywhere I go on campus, people, they don't say anything. They just kind of look at me weird. So as cool as it is, it's also kind of awkward and uncomfortable at times, but it's a good time. It's like you said, it's one of those positions in sports that if you told me as a little kid you would be the quarterback at USC, I'd be pretty stoked. So it's pretty sweet.
You're starting to get your accolades now. You're getting the all-conference nods. What does Keaton Slovis need to do to go from first-team all-conference to first-team all-American?
Anytime I get questioned about, you know, individual accolades, I go back to the fact that I need to get my team to play well. You know, I think that's the main number one job of a quarterback is to get his team playing well. That's kind of how we evaluate the quarterback position at USC. Coach Harrell always says if the quarterback who allows his team to play best on the field is the one that's going to be the starter. You know, so I think that's always my job is to get our guys playing best. So if I can get USC playing to our potential, then you'll see that happen.
I don't know, Dick, if there is a position in this conference that comes along with a bigger network of stars that a guy could lean on if he wanted to.
That's right.
I mean, you could call Carson Palmer. You could call Matt Leinart. You could call Mark Sanchez. You could call any living, breathing ex-USC quarterback and pick their brain. How often do you do that?
Probably not as much as I should, but the great thing about that is all those guys love USC, and they come back. So Matt's always in our quarterback room. You know, Matt Castle gave me a call on FaceTime the other day. Sanchez is always back. So, I mean, those guys are always coming back, and they love meeting. They love helping you guys out or the current players out. So I think that's the amazing thing about the network is not only do they love coming back, but they love helping out younger players. And it's a genuine, you know, hey, man, if you ever need anything from me, like, call me. And I've done that a few times, you know, where I'm texting Mark or Matt or whatnot. But, again, I probably should do it more than I have.
And one thing you got in common with all those guys, it seems like every one of you dudes has got one or two big-time NFL wide receivers to throw
to. Definitely helps.
And you got it again this year. I mean, just talk about what that's going to mean to your offense because you played with them now for a long time, so you got some chemistry.
Yeah, it's exciting. And, you know, looking at someone like Drake, who's kind of started playing the same time I did, Brew, who's my age too, so it's kind of it's come a long way. It's all coming to fruition. And we got a lot of other targets too that I'm excited to bring, a lot of transfers. We have so much talent out there. I'm just excited to see how it comes together in fall camp. But I'm texting Jake Smith, Texas transfer. So again, we have a lot of great players. We just have to figure out how it works together. And you know, I'm excited to see them, you know, kind of enjoy their rise to shine.
Keaton Slovis, starting quarterback at USC, is with us on the air. We're talking to your coach Clay Helton about the pressure that just comes along with that spot. I mean, you're in a lot of ways the biggest game in town. Yeah, the Rams are back and the Chargers are here, but USC for a long time was the biggest game in town. I think a lot of people still feel that way, you know, for you guys. Do you feel that? Do you feel that external kind of not just the pressure but the eyeballs, the attention, the focus on you and this program? Do you feel that? Do you feel what it's like to kind of carry that burden in some ways of being the starting quarterback for USC?
Yeah, definitely have a lot of attention, but I think that's also a positive thing too. You know, yeah. I came from a high school or an area I was under-recruited that, you know, I didn't have the best team. I didn't have much attention coming out of high school. So that was a big reason why I wanted to go to USC, you know, was to – I don't want to be in a situation where I had to fight to get to the next level. I want to be in a position where, you know, you could truly be evaluated and it wouldn't be you wouldn't be struggling for people to know who you were, you know. So I think that was a big thing as to why I went to USC, and I think that's a big positive of our program.
Talk about what a kid growing up in Pac-12 country like you did in Scottsdale thinks about this conference, because we're Pac-12 fans. We want the Pac-12 to be the big dog on the block. We want it to be like the SEC. What is a 16, 17, 18-year-old kid in high school like you were a few years ago think about this conference and how cool it is to play in this conference?
Well, for me, I always saw all the quarterbacks that came out of the Pac-12. So as a quarterback, you know, you're watching, who's it, Luck, Goff.
Sure.
I'm trying to think of all the other guys, Nick Foles. You know, there's so many guys. I'm probably forgetting a ton, but there are so many guys that, and all the guys at SC, obviously, but we already talked about them. But there's so many guys that, you know, left the Pac-12 and went to play in the league and had great careers or had serviceable careers too. Even, and I think that was something that I always admired about the Pac was, you know, I knew it was kind of a great atmosphere for a quarterback to play in.
I'm looking at your schedule: Stanford week two, Washington State up in Pullman in week three. Notre Dame game, BYU to end the year, so there's not that really one gigantic non-conference game early in the year, but you do have the Notre Dame game, you do have the BYU game. The Notre Dame series with you guys, do you guys feel that rivalry with Notre Dame? Is that a nasty game still? Because that goes back a long damn time, even way before your time.
Yeah, it's a big rivalry, and it's different. I don't know how to describe it, but, you know, my freshman year, we went up to South Bend, and, you know, I was excited to play in South Bend and that atmosphere and a hostile atmosphere, and something about it. There's an extra hate in the field, you know, or in the air, extra fuel of hate in the air.
And, I like
you know,
it.
I love it. Yeah, as a competitor, like, you have to love that. And I've played in atmospheres that are kind of dead or quiet, and, you know, people might like that because the crowd isn't as hostile towards you. But I'd rather have the crowd that wants you to lose, and, you know, you can try to shut them up if you score. So
that
was a great atmosphere. I'm excited to play in it again.
Keaton, great stuff, man. Good luck this year, man.
Thanks.
Appreciate it, boss.
Thank you. I appreciate
Keaton
it.
Keaton Slovis, the starting quarterback for USC. That's it for us. We're out of here. We got to get home and get back on the air tomorrow at
the
VMAC at 3 o'clock from the Seahawks practice facility. If you missed anything, George Kliavkoff, the new Pac-12 commissioner, Jen Cohen, Jimmy Lake, Mario Cristobal, all on the radio show. Check it out on the website. Normally we say, why would anyone pay for this crap? This was not crap.
No, it was
this
actually
was
a good
stuff.
Show for once.
This was good stuff. Get it together and get it for free on the website tonight, sportsradiokjr.com. That's it for us. We'll see you at the VMAC tomorrow for day one of Seahawks training camp. Sounders FC Weekly, Jackson Feltz, Garth Lagerwey joining him next on 950 KJR.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.